Touch, of course, is the primary method of interaction with iPad. To enhance what's possible with multi-touch and to allow for a new level of precision with iPad Pro, we've designed Apple Pencil.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jungle Music.
This began by...
that, of course, was Johnny Ive live in the studio. Not really. And this, of course, is Nintendo Dad's After Dark. We're going to talk about the Apple announcement like we usually do. They had an Apple event this week, or just earlier today. And they released a pencil, a pen, a stylus, which is super high tech, apparently. It costs
$100. The most expensive pencil you'll ever
The most own. Expensive using precision white, I don't know. I mean, it does look like, to be fair, it looks like a pretty nice stylus. But anyways, let's get introductions out of the way here. First of all, I'm Zach Erickson, and this is the Nintendo Dad's After Dark, where we talk about stuff that we want to talk about that doesn't necessarily have to do with Nintendo, although I have things to say about Nintendo after this event, for sure.
Episode 5.
Yeah, absolutely. So is this After Dark Episode 5?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we are going to talk about this. Joining us as well is Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
Nothing. I was really excited for this Microsoft conference. I really think the iPad Surface is a fantastic device. So way to go.
Right on. We'll get into that. There was a comic 3 years ago when Microsoft announced the Surface that they were going to... No, it was specifically the cover that they predicted, right?
Keyboard.
The keyboard cover. Yeah.
Yes. And that was just epic.
Yeah, and of course that voice is Jesse Waldeck, co-editor-in-chief of VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
We're good.
Right on. And of course, as well, joining us is David Moore of Dayspace.com. What's going on, Dave?
What's going on, guys? Good Nintendo Dads tonight, guys.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. We literally pull it out of our behind every week, so that's pretty awesome.
He knows. He's the fourth co-chair every once in a while when I don't show up.
I mean, that's pretty much podcasting. It's just kind of like showing up and having
chatting.
Chatting about stuff that you kind of wrote down and some notes. That
it's like public speaking without the immediate audience.
Exactly.
That's the part I don't like.
Yeah, I definitely, well, that's very kind of you, and it's good to have you on the show. So
glad to be here.
We don't actually have a whole lot of notes. We're basically going to go off this article on TheVerge.com called, what is it here? This is kind of what we're using as our show notes. It's called The 10 Most Important Things from Apple's iPhone S or 6S event. And we'll just kind of go through these. It's like the main highlights, and then we can kind of, as we go through, we'll talk about the other stuff. So just around the table before we even go through these 10 points, though, is there anything specific... let's start with you, Dave. Something that you are actually excited about and something that you think is super lame. One of each.
I want to say that the pencil is lame, except I really wanted an iPad stylus, and I guess it's kind of what I wanted. So I guess...
Although I think it's only... We'll get into it, but I think it's only for the iPad Pro.
True.
Oh, it is. It is only for the iPad Pro.
Well, it's called the iPad or the Apple Pencil for iPad Pro. How it's labeled on the website.
I don't think that is a permanent thing, though. I think iPad Air and iPad Mini at some point get support for Apple Pencil.
Hmm. Okay, cool.
But not this generation. The thing I'm most excited for is Apple TV.
Cool.
Like, I think I may actually have to get one.
Right on. Cool. We'll get back to all the different things, but I wanted to get that information from these guys, from everybody. Jesse, what about you?
I have, after seeing this, my wallet wants to have $1,300 jump out of it, but I have to say, no, you cannot do that. I'm literally wanting everything I saw in there, but
okay.
I'm probably going to have to buy none of it just because I've got other priorities right now.
Yeah.
And as he said, the Apple TV looks nice. But, I like what they've done with it. I've already got one Gen 2 Apple TV and two Gen 3 Apple TVs, one of which is still sitting in a box. I've never used it. So if I buy the Gen 4, my wife is going to slap me silly.
Nice. Right on.
You can send me one, Jesse. I'll take an old Apple TV.
What about you, Justin?
So you're asking, what am I excited for?
One, yeah, something you're excited for and something you thought was dumb.
Yeah, well, I've got, I'm actually at the point where I'm upgrading my phone. Contracts will be upgrading to the iPhone 6S. And I actually thought the Force Touch thing, the Touch 3D thing, I think that looks really cool.
Nice.
The thing that I kind of thought was sort of dumb was the iPad Pro, sort of, because I don't really know. Like, you know, my introduction is kind of joking, but like, this is the Microsoft Surface. What the hell just happened? And also, is there really that big of a need for iPad Pro? And if you're at that size, why aren't you just using a MacBook? And for that same price, why aren't you using a MacBook? Now, I say that, I don't want to go too far. I am a heavy iPad user. Hmm. Like, I actually use mine, not just for reading a book and watching TV. Like, I actually do. I run my business off of my iPad. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know. I don't know. As a business owner, I don't know if you've made the case for me yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? I think, yeah, let's just get into it. That's the first thing on the list. Is the iPad Pro. It's 12.9 inches, which I have a 13 inch. I'm actually right now, Skype is running on a 13 inch MacBook Pro. And so this 13 inch iPad Pro, I'm looking at it and I'm realizing that the 13 inches is actually on a 4x3 screen. So it's actually probably surface area. Wouldn't that make it even bigger than a 16x9 screen?
A little bit, because it's closer to square. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's actually surface area wise, it's bigger than a 13 inch MacBook Pro screen. And it's a full size keyboard. It's got the, what are they calling it? The smart keyboard cover or something. And
it's like a keyboard stand, though.
It's kind of like a
stand.
But I mean, like I just recently bought a brand new iPad, and I bought an iPad Air 2 in June, mm-hmm. and I bought a Logitech keyboard, which does the exact same thing where it stands up and it works the exact same way.
Well, it's not right. Exactly.
Except for you have to charge it and you have to connect it with Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Which one, the Logitech one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I charge it once, it lasts for 3 months, and it instantly connects exactly. by Bluetooth.
Yeah. But, it's low power.
The way this new keyboard works is there's a new data power port in the iPad Pro that the keyboard snaps to. So it delivers power and data both ways. So no Bluetooth, no power needed.
Are there going to be any, third party devices that can also use that port? Did they say that?
It sounds like they opened the door for it. Just at this time, there isn't any yet because no one knew about this.
Mm-hmm. And because power and data can go both ways on that side port. So, yeah. That's, I don't know. I think kind of like what you were saying, Justin, it's huge. Like it's, what is the benefit? I think the benefit here, just thinking about it. And I mean, we might as well look at the next one kind of going straight into it is, the Apple Pencil, which is $99 US.
So imagine pretty much like both of these together. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yeah, it's enormous, right?
Yeah, so I'm holding two iPads together for those who can't see the screen.
Right, and so that's how big it is.
The regular one and a mini side by side, and that's pretty much the size of the Pro.
Yeah. So it's the 32 gig will cost you $800. The 128 gig will be $949. And so if like the most expensive one costs over $1,000 for an iPad, I think.
Then you've got to go get your keyboard.
Yeah, then you've got the keyboard.
$160.
Yeah, so
you should probably get your pencil for $100. So just go buy a MacBook.
Well, here's the thing though: is MacBook isn't touchscreen.
Yeah, draw? Can you draw on a MacBook?
I think.
That's your argument. Can you draw on a MacBook?
I think for people if you were a professional artist, like a graphic designer, I think this is perfect, right? If you're doing graphic design work, I think it's great for actual drawing.
Like I said, my youngest daughter would love this.
Right. I think this is aiming at the same, like the Wacom tablet market, right? Whereas right now, basically, you do have the Surface tablet and those sorts of things, but I don't think that this is necessarily it doesn't have as broad appeal as the Surface tablet, the Surface Pro specifically. I'm looking at getting a new laptop for school. I've seriously considered a Surface Pro because it's basically a laptop, right? Whereas this iPad Pro is not a laptop. It's running iPad software. And granted, you can do, again, I think that you're basically looking at, do you want a MacBook Air or an iPad Pro? That is probably more of a good comparison, I guess. And I don't know what the answer is. I guess it's really just preference at this point. Do you want to draw on it and have touchscreen stuff? If so, then this is, you know, it's more of a multi-purpose device, whereas the laptop is more. This may actually cannibalize the MacBook or the MacBook Air more than anything, really.
So
the processor in the new iPad Pro is probably more than the Air.
Mm-hmm.
So carrying around a MacBook Air and an iPad the entirety of the last, like, school, all my school, like all my college and the end of high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always pulled the iPad out first to do all my, like taking notes in class, iPad, absolutely, right? Doing homework.
Did you use a keyboard for that? Like, did you have a keyboard?
I had a keyboard dock. I carried a keyboard dock, which is essentially the same exact thing as what that iPad Pro keyboard is.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Apple one. It was a 30-pin dock. You docked
now
it in.
Now you can draw your own notes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw those. Yeah, for sure.
I used a note-taking app that let me draw with a very terrible stylus, and yet I learned to be good with that because it was the quickest and best way to take notes in class, because it's way easier to write notes than it is to type notes,
mm-hmm.
at least in my opinion.
Well, because, and it's also...
Because it depends how fast you can type.
My note-taking skill is more or less like doodles and sketches, you know, of things, instead of versus like long formed out words.
Well, actually, I've got a really cool new gadget that I've been using in school. I kind of agree, like taking notes and stuff like that. I prefer handwritten notes too. And I actually just picked up a LiveScribe. I think it's a LiveScribe 3. It's like an e-pen that connects to your phone, and you have to buy special paper for it. That's not that much more than regular paper. But you literally write in the book, and as you're writing, you look in the app, and it has transferred what you've written into the app. And so I have like my entire handwritten book also on my phone, and it syncs to my iPad and all that kind of stuff. So
my friend did that, and he had one that also recorded the lecture at the same time. So
yeah, you can do that.
If you put the pen down at the point in the notes, it would play the audio that was playing at the same time as you wrote that.
Yeah, that's exactly what this one does too. The one that I have is more synced to the phone than I think some of the older models. But the basic premise is the same. So I do think that there is something to be said for handwritten notes. My question is, like, is handwritten... I don't think this is for handwritten notes, though, because I don't think very many people handwrite notes on an iPad.
I think maybe I'm the only one in the world. But the
I know, when the, I was in,
well,
when
for
I was
drawing
in college,
and stuff, though, right?
Everything.
Like, if you had to write something, right. Words, you would type it, though, wouldn't you?
I mean, if you look at my notes through college, right, the ones where I actually had to take notes, the classes where that I took them all on an iPad, is it's a mix of type and drawing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all on the iPad. Every bit of it I took on the iPad because I could organize the documents, put them in folders. I didn't have to carry notebooks around. I stopped carrying paper about senior year of high school.
Hmm.
Like, I was like, I'm done. I'm not carrying paper anymore. I got this thing. Notebooks are disgusting and gross and fall apart in my bag and get everywhere and no one can keep track of it. I just started taking things home, scanning them, putting them in an editor, and drawing and writing everything on my iPad.
Yeah.
Right, because on. I just – so if you're telling me that I can get a 12.9-inch screen and a pencil, I mean, God, it's a horribly overpriced thing, mm-hmm. like to me. Right.
Yeah. And I think, again,
by the time I buy the pencil and the keyboard,
I think that this is more aimed at the people who would use it similar to a Wacom tablet, though.
Oh, I know. I think if I were an artist, if you guys were talking about Scott Johnson and the Boob Show, if I were drawing for My Extra Life and doing all those cartoons, I would seriously be considering this iPad. If I were still in school and I'm going to go back to school, but if I'm not considering this, I'm going to continue taking MacBooks and a regular iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But the concept of it, if I had the money to just waste, you know, waste in air quotes, right? This would be a very strong consideration for, especially like 2D design, which I took, right? Drawing with those, with like like the sketch pads, it's like awful. But if I could draw to the pixel with this pencil, which they claim I can, that would be amazing. Especially once we start getting things like Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign and everything mm-hmm. else.
I'm just looking on Twitter. I was just curious what Scott Johnson's response was to the iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil. His response on Twitter, complete no-brainer for someone that needs a good portable art solution like me. Want now. So
yeah, and that's what I expected him to say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
I feel like Justin isn't sold on the iPad Pro.
Nope.
Not in the slightest.
And again, I don't think that it's for you, Justin. I don't think that every single item on their lineup needs to be for you or for anybody.
No, right? And I mean I do agree that I think there is probably a niche market. I think that for it, I just struggle to think if there's I don't see the innovation I'd like to from it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. I mean, I think it feels very Microsoft Surface, you know,
that's why Microsoft came out on stage and put Excel next to Word.
Yeah.
and I think that this is, you know, again, this is an alternative to business settings, laptops, right? If you're buying laptops for your business or buying tablets for your business, and you have the same budget either way, this may actually, like, you know, like coming from a, you know, there was in my last job, there was a lot of people using iPads. And if you're looking at, do we get an iPad or do we get a MacBook? I think people are, this is blurring that line again, right?
Yeah.
If people prefer a tablet, now they can use a tablet. If they want to use a laptop, they can use a laptop, and the price point is the same for both.
Yeah, I guess I guess we kind of knew it was coming, and there have been a lot of rumors about this from the kind of rumor mill. But I guess I think as soon as we saw in iOS 9 the split screen of the iPad, we probably should have known this was coming. And I do think that looks like a pretty sexy little feature, right? Like with that much real estate and being able to split screen, I'm sure that has a lot of value and purpose. And I kind of get that from a work perspective.
And the picture in picture and all that. Why they picked 13 inches?
Oh, they did? What was that?
Because if you take pick the pixel count of an iPad in portrait mode. Then you take the iPad Pro in landscape mode; it's the same orientation can fit in about 2/3 of that screen, so you can have a full iPad app running in your split screen mode.
Wow, that's crazy! At full resolution.
At full resolution.
Jeez! Wow. Okay, that's crazy. So, I mean, it's definitely an option now for people. This is something that maybe it's coming later, but iOS 9 is coming next week, right? The 16th is what we saw.
For most of you.
Yeah.
Of us already have
Some of us already have it. I actually had like beta access. I wonder if I could just go to the beta website and get it now.
Yeah. The GM seed is available if you have dev access.
Okay.
Did they even mention El Capitan at all?
No, but I heard that it's the 30th.
They normally don't at this event. The next event will be their Mac Pro, the Mac.
No, I know that, but they don't also normally talk about iPads and Apple Watch and the Apple TV at their iPhone event either. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah, sometimes they do. I think because Apple Watch and Apple TV are kind of part of the iOS family, kind of.
Now we have tvOS.
Yeah, which tvOS is kind of like watchOS, which is basically, it's an extension / rebranding of iOS, really, right? So
yeah.
That's the Apple, or that's the iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil.
And then at the very end of that, they showed the new lineup of iPads, which was kind of interesting because it was iPad
There's
Mini.
There's a lot of choices.
iPad Mini 2, iPad Mini 4, which is now new. That's new.
Yeah, that's
basically
the...
an Air 2 shrunk down.
It's the guts of an Air 2, yeah.
Yeah, then they have the Air and the Air 2, and then now the Pro. So I saw that whimpered to myself, because I'm holding, again, the same two iPads. None of these two are on their list. Both of my iPads are now obsolete.
Nice.
Justin's iPad is still at least for sale.
Yeah.
I'm still rocking an iPad 2.
Oh,
and,
dang.
And I probably would if mine didn't get stolen.
Yeah, I have an iPad.
Well, I would be rocking an iPad 1 if my iPad 1 hadn't gotten stolen. So
I have an iPad 3rd gen, and I have an iPad Air 2.
I have an iPad mini, the 1st gen mini, that has the crappy resolution display.
Yeah, mine's a 1st gen mini, and then the 4th gen, you know, the version before the 1st Air.
Yeah. Right on. So the next thing, so yeah, that's the, so there's, so basically it's $269 for the, is that right? For the iPad mini 2, and then the 4 is $400. The Air is
$400. I've got the, I just put those screenshots on Twitter if I can find it. I think it was $299.
Yeah. I think that's what it's looking like on this website too. It's $399 for the mini 4, the $399 for the Air, $499 for the Air 2, and $799 for the Pro, which basically means that.
I still feel like $799 for the Pro is a reasonable price.
Well, because it's 32 gigs for one, right? Like there is right, no 16
exactly. gig. So you get a 32 gig, which is really realistically enough if you learn how to manage it, right? Mm-hmm. And then, sure, if you add the pencil, it's when you add the pencil and the keyboard, which you can add later. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just keep this in mind. That's when it becomes a little bit absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked at it. It is $269 for the lowest end mini 2.
Yeah. So so that's the iPad. I think you're right, Dave. I think it is. It's a reasonable price. But if you start racking up those, I mean, same with anything else, right? Like if you start getting the higher end ones, then they're pretty ridiculous.
It's like the problem with the Apple Watch, except I feel like the baseline is enough in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the Apple Watch, where I still feel like that's a little bit too much to ask.
Yeah. So next up is
wait until you convert that to Canadian.
Yeah, seriously.
I know everything once you can convert to Canadian.
Man. It sucks. So next is the Apple TV, which is long awaited.
This is what I was expecting this 3 years ago.
Yeah,
I was like, expecting this every Apple event for the last 3 years, and I agree with you, Jesse. When was this going to happen? Because I love the Apple TV.
Back when I was recording Roundtable podcasts, there was an episode where there was a rumored controller because there was new APIs in the dev kits talked about it's a controller that looked like it could be integrated with an Apple TV app so you could be able to have games on your big TV through the Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was almost 4 years ago when we talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically it's basically got its own OS now, right? TV OS, which is kind of like iOS more or less. Games that are developed for iOS, I believe, can be ported to TV OS. So like you can have a universal, basically they said that you can create universal apps similar to iPhone to iPad or iPhone to Apple Watch. You can now have a Apple TV version of your app as well. So you could buy basically. So for example, you buy a game, right? Let's say you buy, I don't
know. Crossy Road.
Yeah, you buy Crossy Road for your phone, and then you're like, man, I sure wish I could play this on the TV. Now you can, right?
I sure wish I could play it with a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I can.
Right? So it's.
In fact, I've never actually heard of that game before until.
It's
until that day.
It's Frogger. Yeah.
It's Frogger.
You've never heard of. You guys listen to the Boop Show? You don't know what Crossy Road is?
Oh, yeah. Crossy Road, man. I know what it is.
Scott's addiction to Crossy Road caused my addiction to Crossy Road. This is just. I still play that game.
I do play Pac-Man 256 every once in a while, which is the same developers.
So basically, what we're looking at here is basic. The additions to current Apple TV is. Apps is the big thing. Apps and Siri are the two big things, right? So Siri, you can basically ask it whatever you want, which is kind of cool. And the
search is across multiple streaming services. Thank Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Which is what Nintendo TV was supposed to have been.
Right, but Nintendo doesn't integrate anything with any other services, and they don't understand like the concept of like Twitter or Facebook.
They wanted to. That was the promise. It just fell through.
Yeah,
hard.
That nobody cared about it either, right? Nobody bought a Wii U so that they could use Nintendo TV. Whereas people buy an Apple TV.
I bought a Hulu account because of that promise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
basically, I love Hulu.
Yeah. So basically,
I still use it and I still pay for it. It's just I didn't use it the way I intended.
Yeah. So, I mean, it comes in two versions, and this is, I think we need to talk about this, you know, being the Nintendo Dad's show, a 16-gigabyte version is, or sorry, 32-gigabyte version is $150, and for a 64-gig version, it's $200. Justin, you and I, before recording today, we had a little bit of a conversation about this. I said that this is going to set the bar for what Nintendo can reasonably price the NX home console at. Because I think this new Apple TV is their number one competition for the casual market.
I think this has been a shot across the bow for the casual gamer. And I think that this is definitely, I think
$150, man. $150 for
I don't think Nintendo considers their audience casual gamers.
No, but
I don't think I don't know if they agree to that terminology.
I don't think they do either, but I don't think that changes reality.
Terminology, but that's besides the point.
Right, but here's the thing, guys. They did 5 years ago. The casual market was what they created with the Wii.
And here's the thing too, is that they didn't agree with that with the iPhone taking over handheld sales, and look what happened, right? Like mobile phones ate the 3DS's lunch. If you look at the DS versus the 3DS, I feel like this is the home console's version of the iPhone, right? And the touchscreen smartphone.
Yeah, I genuinely think Nintendo is in a bad spot now with this. Would they qualify themselves as casual gamers at this point? Like whatever you want to call it, but what Nintendo did with the Wii was bring people who didn't typically game to a gaming platform through whether it's bowling or tennis or whatever it was they did.
They have a game called Beat Sports.
Yeah. And now
we'll talk about Beat Sports in a minute.
And now Nintendo is not playing in that market as much. They're trying to push more, not for the casual, but more for the kind of long-term gamer. And Apple has come in and swooped that casual gamer off the market. So I think this is a scary spot for Nintendo.
While I'm watching this, a tweet comes in from RCMADIAX. I don't know how to pronounce that, but they're a game developer. They've got a few Wii U eShop titles, the Pixel Slime U, Shut the Box, Poker Dice, Solitaire. Anyway, so
Solitaire for my Wii U. I totally want that.
Yeah, it's Poker Dice Solitaire. It's kind of like Yahtzee.
Oh, okay.
They sent a tweet that says, "I wonder how long it'll take for game engines to support this new Apple TV. I wouldn't mind making some games for it." I reply, and then compare it to how slow it took them to support Wii U, if at all. And then I said, "I'll be surprised if this won't sell 10 million units." And he goes, "I bet this will sell a ton of units."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing,
right? Now that I think about it, yeah, it probably will.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that
it's
like
half the price of a Wii U.
It's half the price of a Wii U. I think that Sony and Microsoft also are going to have to look at this and be like, wow, what are we? Because basically what Apple has done here is said, okay, what is the MVP, you know, the minimum viable product for a video game console as far as specs go, right? Like, what is the minimum requirements that we can get that, you know, basically get the cheapest game console possible, but also still really awesome, out to everybody. And so this is, you know, we've kind of had this talk for a long time, like at what point are graphics good enough? And the Apple TV, the new Apple TV may end up being that point where it's like, we don't need it any more than this. We don't care that the PS4 and the Xbox One and the NX have higher specs than the Apple TV. The Apple TV is good enough, and look how many freaking games it has. It has a butt ton of games. So, I don't know. And I hate to be like doom and gloom, but, you know, we were also saying before too, Justin, like Nintendo already has iOS games. So what is the likelihood that the Nintendo's mobile games are also Apple TV games? Do you think that's a possibility? Because at this point, from a coding perspective, it's a technicality, right? Like, it's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, in fact, if you already have to go through the effort of writing for iOS, it's nothing to it's very minimal to make it TV capable.
Right. So what's the is that do you think that's something that we'll see?
Yeah, I think this may actually force Nintendo's, you know, we've always talked about the situation of like, could Nintendo move away from hardware development and only be a software company and bring their games to Sony and to Microsoft and to this? I think this is actually becomes a much realer conversation to have when the stock market and when the investors realize that, A, they're making bank off of mobile games, right? Eventually, when a couple of years in, and that they're not selling the consoles they want to, the shareholders and the investors will scream at the president to say, then stop doing that and just build software. Mm-hmm. And this is where it goes.
You think this sort of lower end, lower end game console or multimedia?
I'm willing to bet you in 5 years from now, you're playing Mario on Apple TV.
Hot dang. You've heard it here first, guys. I don't necessarily
disagree.
This is
where disagree. It starts.
This is where it starts.
I think it's a very, very long time before we see Mario on the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Correct. On the PlayStation, correct. But I think on Apple, it's much more likely.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree with you. But I still think it's going to be the caliber of Pokemon Shuffle, meaning it will not be Super Mario 3D Land for the Apple television.
What about Mario Maker?
It will not be Mario Maker. It will be.
I think it could be Mario Maker.
It'll be Mario Maker Lite.
Another thing we'd have to have before Mario games and other games show up on this is we need to have a viable normal controller. But I imagine
they've got third party controllers that they are touting already. The Steel Series something.
I'm not surprised. I just haven't heard of this yet. But mm-hmm. yeah, as long as it's Bluetooth 4 capable and it'll pair with the device and it should work.
I can confirm this right now for you. Mm-hmm. On their thing, they gave us a list of the games that they're supporting. One of the games they confirmed was Guitar Hero Live.
Ah, Guitar.
Who the hell cares about Guitar Hero? That's a dumb thing.
Well, that is true. But
the host of living room clutter.
But those instruments should have their own Bluetooth capabilities built in. But
let
me
explain to you how the Guitar Hero Live guitar works, because I do an entire show about this.
That is true.
This game is coming to everything you can imagine. Your iPhone, your iPad, Xbox One, PS4, Wii U, PS3, Xbox 360. So it's coming to everything, right? This guitar is a standard Bluetooth guitar, and the way you hook it up to different consoles is using different dongles.
Oh.
So to plug it into your PS4, you get a little USB thing that you plug into your PS4. For Apple TV,
the instruments are there's only one.
Yeah, multi. Right. So my assumption is
it's a lot cheaper that way to switch it back and forth between systems.
Right.
It'll just work with your Apple TV. So you bought it first. You bought the guitar and you buy the game on the App Store. Now you can just play it on your Apple TV.
Yeah.
That is my assumption, and that seems to be the reality of this.
So does that mean they didn't? They didn't say this, but like, can you connect like a Bluetooth keyboard with this and do like a word processor on your TV? Like, is that a deal?
I don't see why you couldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like anything Bluetooth could be connected, because they're confirming that game works, and that game has to have that guitar. You're not going to play that with the Apple TV remote. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right. Let's talk for a second about the Wii remote. I mean, the Siri remote.
that's actually where I was going to go next, because
they actually have a strap.
Thinking of that $170 price tag for this thing, how much of that is the remote?
Well, it's because got a touch.
I tried going to the Apple Store. It's currently down, so I can't look, they don't have the pricing on a replacement remote yet. You know, the replacement remote on a regular Apple TV is $20.
I bet it's 50.
They sell the Apple TV for 70, which means it's basically a $50 unit with a $20 remote. So if this ends up being a $120 unit with a $40 remote, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Which makes the price for this even lower than it seems.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, looking at this, and it has actually, because it has accelerometers and stuff like that in it, it actually does have, which is sold separately, a wrist strap just like the Wii Remote does. And it's, I mean, it's got a cool little trackpad on the top. You know, Beat Sports, Dave, I know you were excited about Beat Sports or wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. So Beat Sports is the developers who are basically competing with Guitar Hero came out on stage, who are Harmonix, who makes Rock Band.
Okay.
And announced Beat Sports. So imagine the hype that I'm
Rock
feeling
Band is not
this
being
moment.
Put everywhere.
Because Rock Band is PS4 and Xbox One only, which is fine because that's the way it should be, because that's the way that game works. It requires you to all have the instruments. It's nonsense, but the fact that they're developing a game for this is, I'm telling you that Beat Sports, because they said it's a series of games, is the Wii Sports for this
oh, absolutely.
Apple TV. It's 100% sure, and I know it because I've played pretty much every game from that company.
Yeah,
let's see the music bowling game.
It is music bowling. It's music tennis and music bowling. And that's all it's gonna be.
I said that half
joke.
It's gonna
be so addicting and so fun.
It's gonna be pretty cool.
I tweeted them and said, I'm like, if somehow I get a review copy of Rock Band, which is possible with the Road Crew program, I said I will take the money and go buy an Apple TV just to play Beat Sports.
Hmm.
Like, I really will.
Cool. Right
on. That is the future of that Apple TV. That game is holding a lot of power.
Cool. So Apple TV, it's definitely going to be a thing. This is coming out in October, right? So next month.
And I think they think that the internals of that thing has the same processor as like the six plus, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
The 8 or 8X chip.
And again, like I said,
I think that's the six and the 6 plus, not the 6S.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The current generation of phone, like this phone I'm holding in my hand.
Which
is the phone you can go buy today and get it today.
Right. Not the S, but the 6 and 6 plus.
Which is good enough, right? It's easily good enough to run any games that you're going to want to play. Right on. So, yeah.
Like Crossy Road.
Next up on this list here, is the iPhone 6S, which they say nothing is new except everything or something like that, which basically
which
means
terrible.
Which is, you know, pretty much admitting that there's not a whole lot different.
Which in the S generation,
it's kind of
it never is.
Yeah, in the S generation, it's typically only like one thing. Like, for example, back in the 5, it was Touch ID.
5S added
the fingerprints.
And then like the 4S, 4S the 5S, and 6S always added. You know, that's where they make their generational jump in the processor.
Mm-hmm. Siri came later to the 4S. It didn't have it at day one, I don't think. Was it? Was that the first time we got Siri?
The 4S
was the S was for Siri originally.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was for speed.
I thought it was too.
I don't know.
It was for Steve.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say this every time until they actually give me what I want, what I really, really want.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Yeah, no Apple Pay for Canada yet.
Nope.
Can I tell you the best feature of the iPhone 6S?
That it has Apple Pay in Canada?
No. It will never. It'll be a very long time.
My daughter wants the pink one.
I'll tell you right now. Apple Pay, as much as it's being started to be supported here, like where I work, it's not yet supported by our company. Meaning, so the sense that we have the terminals, we're going to support it in the future, but it's still a matter of turning it on.
What's
and
the
we're
difference
pretty
between
much
like the
a
NFC?
Year in, and we probably should have turned this on by
What's
now.
What's the difference between that and like an NFC tap card?
It's the same thing. We don't support the NFC tap cards.
Okay.
They all get turned on the same day.
Yeah, it's just the NFC tap cards would also require some other form of authentication where this, your thumbprint at the same time with the tap, is your double authentication.
Right. So the iPhone 6S.
And sometimes I still need a signature and a PIN, which confuses me.
I think it's based on how much you're spending. But anyway, so the 6S, the big thing is 3D touch, which is something that they
rebranded it.
Well, it used to be called Force Touch, which,
confused everybody,
which I think is weird. So 3D Touch, I think, is a much better name for it. Right. And I also think
Peak and Pop are our new gestures,
which is finally naming those, I guess. But they're I think the big thing here is like they first announced 3D Touch, or the first released it on the Apple Watch, and then in the new MacBooks on the trackpads they had them there. And of course it's the three-dimensional gestures, so now you can push in. Basically what this is allowing you to do is to click your screen, really. Like, and that's different from tapping.
I like that analogy, yeah.
Right? Where, so you push it in, and for those of you who haven't been in an Apple store to actually try the Force Touchpad on the new MacBooks, the weird USB-free MacBooks, there's no actual click mechanism on the trackpad, but if you actually push down on it at any point in it, it feels like it clicks because it vibrates very quickly. And so...
It's the best thing to do is go in there, click it, and then turn the computer, shut it down, like turn it off completely, and then try to click it. And it's so weird.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't do anything. And it's great because that's the proof and the fact that it's completely tricking you.
Yeah. But at the same time, I showed this again, like I was saying before, my wife is definitely like she is able to get a new phone. She's her contract is up. And I showed her this video for the new one. I was like, hey, here's the new phone. Like, and she was like, I'll probably just go with the 6. I don't really need the 6S. The 3D touch thing is not that exciting to me. So.
Yeah, like I'm up for mine. I'm up for my contract too, actually.
Yeah, and what are you thinking, Justin?
Oh, I'm going for the 6S for sure. I should know whether it's plus or not plus.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm definitely getting the 6S. Plus, because I want the bigger one, but it's time to upgrade from the 5S. It's just time at this point. I think 3D touch is as little. It doesn't seem like a big deal now, right? But it's one of those things. It's like Touch ID, right? Once you have it, you have it. You don't want to. I wouldn't get a phone without it. I'm going to give you the exact reason why to not go buy the iPad Pro, the first iPad Pro. There is no 3D touch. The way you draw is completely and I looked this up to confirm this. It's based on the pencil.
Yeah, the pencil has the sensors to note the strength. Right.
Right, the pencil is everything. It has so the way you draw it depends on that pencil. And it includes 3D touch, I think it's a whole nother level that we're going to include, and that's the reason to not get that first one, because it's coming, it has to come.
Yeah,
that's the thing with any Apple product. You never want to get the first one,
yeah.
Right? Like for those of you that bought the Apple Watch, and trust me, I almost every day almost check out an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
You know that the first round is probably not the round you want to be. But thank you, early adopters.
I bought an iPod Touch Gen 1 and regretted
that thing. I actually had one of those too, and it didn't have an external speaker. That was the weirdest part about that thing, was that like anytime you wanted to watch a movie or something, plug those headphones in because you can't use it otherwise.
I forgot
about
that.
That's really weird. That's really weird.
It was really bizarre. Yeah. And that was actually before it had an app store. So it was just like, hey, cool. I can check my email on my phone or on my iPod. That was cool though. But,
but speaking of speakers, going back to the Pro, apparently the speakers are enhanced to be a four-speaker system, which knows which two are left and which two are right based on how it's oriented.
And, so how does that work for, like, if something... So basically, I'm assuming, if you're watching a movie, obviously, like, it's 5.1 surround, but, like, do they deal with that in software somehow to actually get, like, as close to 5.1 as possible? Like, it's... Or is it just going to be stereo?
I think it's just stereo.
Okay.
Everybody online is saying just stereo because I was.
It's just louder.
The coolest feature to me that I don't think is being implemented here is like when you put your hand over one of those speakers, it should know, and then it uses the other speakers to provide sound. Because I find myself like covering the speaker on my iPad.
Oh, I do that all the time. Same with my phone.
And they're saying the volume output is like 3 or 4 times the volume of Air 2.
That's crazy. Well, it seemed like there was a huge echo chamber inside the back of that thing, is kind of what the cross sections looked like. So yeah, so finally, a few more things here. Apple has its own tiny version of Vines. This is kind of a cool feature. So basically, it says before and after the camera shutter closes, live photos will capture a second and a half of footage. So when you view the image later, it plays like a short video clip.
Yeah, live photos.
That's super cool. That's like,
it is really
that's
cool.
Creepy.
Like, it is really somebody, creepy because it means your camera's always on. Recording.
But at the same time, like on.
When you're in the photo app.
When you're in the photo app. But yeah, like, but as a parent, I freaking love that. Like, just like, cause so many times I'm trying to get a picture of my kid and the picture ends up being crappy, but man, my kid was cute while I was trying to take that picture. And for the idea to, oh, well, I still have this short little video clip. That's great. That's awesome. So
I take a lot of pictures in burst mode now to make sure that I get the shots I want.
I do too, but those burst mode pictures, you don't, I think they're lower resolution, right? Like they're not as sharp.
Yeah, I'm very careful to make sure you're shooting. I mean, if you're trying to get something in motion, I make sure that I'm in burst mode. If it's not, I take the time to take the picture. But I agree with you. I think it's a super cool feature. You know what else is cool is I think they're probably going to play on your Apple TV.
Yeah. See that? Right? I think so that's, but that's only that on the 6S,
the Apple
right?
TV, and that's gonna. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that's only on the 6S.
Yes, of course it is because they have to give you a reason to get it. The other thing the 6S only does it's in the camera is it shoots 4K video,
which I don't even care. It's such high. Yeah, I almost wish that there was a way to downgrade the quality on my phone because I take a lot of videos. And like, is there right. even a way to
you don't want to use up four times the space when it's not necessary?
Yeah. Like I did actually turn off 60 frames a second video because that's just crazy town. But it's just storage wise, but which, by the way, something that's not on this list, but iCloud, data expansion is half the price it used to be.
That's great because it's harassing me as we speak. There's a little notification in the top of my computer that keeps popping up. Your iCloud storage is full.
See, I bought into that back when they said annual contracts, but you pay by the year. And so I'm still paying by the year, but if I still like that, not knowing I don't have to pay them monthly. Mm-hmm. But if I switch to that, then I'm going to get a hell of a lot better deal.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're probably actually going to – I remember last time they reduced the price. They actually, like, refunded some money on my credit card or something.
Right. I know they did something a few months ago, and they increased my storage up to 20 gig. But now 50 gig is the low end?
Yeah, up to a terabyte.
I don't know if they're going
to
do that again.
So, yeah. So, yeah, there's that – those live photos, which are cool.
Again, for $1 a month.
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
Super cheap, dude. Don't forget about the Apple Watch.
What do you get for $1 a month?
50 gigs.
50 gigs of iCloud?
Oh, I'm doing it right now. I'm clicking it right now. I don't know. I'm so done with this notification.
Totally. Yeah, it's worth $1 a month just to not see that notification.
There's always $1 in my bank account. I can handle this.
And then, of course, the Apple Watch, there's some stuff for that. OS Watch.
I started tuning out at that point because I don't care.
Finally, we've got, it says if you're waiting to upgrade to El Capitan, you're going to have to hold off until September 30th. Apparently, that's the release date for that. iOS 9 and WatchOS 2.
We did get mentioned.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know if it was mentioned, but it has been announced since then.
Which reminds me, I need to see if they have a GM seed for that.
I believe they do. I think they do.
I better download that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Let's go around the table. Like, how do we feel Apple's doing with these announcements?
This is great. This one made me so much happier than the last one.
Yeah.
The watch just made me depressed because I really wanted it before it got announced, and then it wasn't what I wanted. It was too much money, and it's not enough for what I support. So this is huge. I'm so excited for Apple TV. It's unbelievable. They've confirmed that Bluetooth controllers are going to work. So if somebody makes one decent, good, like, third-party controller, we start getting games on this thing for, like, $1, like, free-to-play nonsense if I can play, like, all my favorite iPhone games on my TV, my casual gaming addiction is just increased by about tenfold just now, just right now by doing this. So I am thrilled. about Apple TV. New bands for the Apple Watch, which we didn't even talk about. iPad Pro. At some point, it's not for me right now, but in the future it may be, and that's super cool to me that they're doing that. And the iPhone, I need a new iPhone, like, desperately. Like, my home button broke last week.
Yeah.
So, right on. Like, it's time.
It is time. Right on. Jesse, what about you?
I don't think I've ever seen an Apple event that has been so polarizing on Twitter. It's like a 50-50 split of people saying, this is the best episode ever, and this is the worst episode ever,
mm-hmm.
at the same time. And as I said at the beginning of this show, my wallet wants $1,000 to jump out of it. I just have to say, no, stay in there.
Nice. Right on. Justin, what about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge with Apple, and I think actually today they proved me wrong, is I feel like a lot of these have become very standardized. Like, okay. We know what's going to happen. Right? Like, we know there's going to be a new phone, and we know it's going to be a success, and we know, like, there's all these kind of, like, we knows. But today I was genuinely surprised. Like, I was genuinely surprised by the Pencil. I was genuinely surprised by how much gaming was involved in the Apple TV, and what that actually meant. I was surprised by the Apple Pro. So I think I like the fact that there is surprises. I sometimes wonder if they're staying as focused to what they want to be, or if they're just expanding for the sake of expanding and pushing themselves. Like, is there the market for the Apple Pro? Is there the market for the Apple Pen? Right. I don't know if some of these things you would have seen during Steve Jobs' reign still.
Yeah, it was a much simpler product line back then.
Yeah, it very much was, right? And these things now just become so, you know, and I mean, I think their statement of, like, you know, that they said about the iPhone 6, like, it's nothing has changed, but everything has changed. It's like, well, no.
Everything didn't, like, change.
Here's what I know you've done. You've done a better camera, a better processor, and you've added something to it. This becomes formulaic almost.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we know that, you know, come October, they're going to give us an iPad and MacBook updates, right? We know come Wednesday, when iOS 9 is available, the servers are going to get slammed and you're not going to get to the end of the day and there's going to be some issues with it. And, like, these things become very repeatable. So I think the surprise of it is gone. I think also there are so many leaks nowadays of, like, oh, here's what the outer shell looks like. And you're like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But, like, usually I'm really hyped for Apple events. Like, I love Apple products. But I was just kind of like, okay, well, I'll just catch it on, like, some blogs and
this is the first one that I didn't watch. This is the first one that I didn't watch the keynote in a really long time.
Yeah.
Part of it was because I had a really busy day, but part of it was because, you know. Okay.
I woke up and had the whole day off, and I was like, oh, man, I get to watch the Apple event. I was so excited. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I don't know, dude. Okay, so I want to show you guys one more thing that isn't Apple related, except that you use your phone for it. But I'm actually sharing my screen. Can you guys see my screen? Share
no.
A window. No, don't share a window. Just share my screen. Share my entire screen. Okay, start. I want to show you guys this because this is the thing I'm actually excited for. This is, I kid you not, I told my wife this is the only thing that I want for Christmas.
So for those of you watching or listening just to the audio file, Zach is showing the Meet BB-8 commercial that was all across the internet on First Friday about controlling it from your phone.
Yeah,
so,
the remote control BB-8, made by Sphero, dude. I have been wanting, like, for some reason, I've been wanting, like, a remote control car for some reason for a while. And then I saw this online. I'm like, screw the freaking car, man. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I don't know. Am I, like, what do you guys say? Like, anybody else feeling the same way?
I think it's really awesome. But I also know that I would probably use it for a total of, like, 3 hours and be like, well, I'm done.
No way, dude. I'd, like, take this thing to the university and, like, just drive it around. Like in the clinic where I'm going to be doing my practicum, just like buzzing it around the clinic and like having it in patrol mode. I don't know. Oh, here's this part. It's like the hologram, which I think is a little bit ridiculous because you have to have the app for it to work, but still kind of cool. Anyway. And like, look how cute it is, man. Aw, so
scaring
nice.
The crap out of the fish.
Yeah, that fish is like, oh man, get out.
It's going to eat me.
And this guy, like, riding it next to the pool. I don't know. Very brave. Anyways. We were at the Disney store in West Edmonton Mall, and I went and asked them about that, and they were like, yeah, we sold out already.
Oh, no.
I was like, that's probably good, because otherwise I would have bought it, and then I'd be in trouble. So, anything else, guys, about that? I definitely think we're going to have to do an After Dark about Star Wars Episode 7. By the way,
I think
that's a given. Yeah. Other than that, is there anything else coming up that we're going to need to do this with? I think that's about it, right?
I think those are the big things right now.
Yeah.
I mean, these are always just little fun episodes to have.
Totally. Well,
I'm always glad to come here and join you guys. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the fourth chair for our After Dark. I'm trying to find something. I don't know. Do I have anything that I can play? Sure. Let's do
that. Toxic hell stew.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm now installing the El Capitan GMC on my Mac.
Nice. Right on, dude. Well,
my iCloud storage is no longer overfull.
Well, hey, man, look at this.
I still think the iPad Pro is slightly useless.
There you go. Well,
not useless, Justin. I'm going to convince you.
I'm going to get tweets from Dave like for the entire week.
Right on. Well, everybody, you can, of course, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Nintendo Dads. Head over to VGTribute.com and, of course, change the world on iTunes by giving us a 5-star review. So any final thoughts before we head out tonight, guys?
If you like everything Beat Sports and Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Check out the Living Room Clutter podcast, because it's all we're going to talk about is Beat Sports next week.
Right on, dude. That's all you're going to talk about. I like it. I'm looking forward to your anticipation. Wow, that's great.
I am anticipating you're looking forward to.
I'm anticipating your anticipation.
Yeah, right on. Well, thanks again for joining us on the show, Dave.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Right on. We'll see everybody next week for another episode of Nintendo Dads. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What the hell is this slow jam? I expect Boys to Men to break in. There's a Backstreet Boy.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
I always want really like hard guitar riff after that. After Dark! After he says that.
We should get that.